This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. We're talking about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. I got lined up my eider duck trip to Maine, going up there middle of November, and the eiders are in, sometimes better this time of year than later. Puddle ducks might be open and get a bad day and go inshore. So there you go. Oh, my guide, I just found out. I didn't open this email till just now. My guide, Clifton Ames of 10 Mile Guide Service, purchased a layout boat big enough for one of us may have an opportunity to play in it. Wow, cool. Like it. Like it. So we'll see what happens. Eider ducks, man. Got my eider duck back a while back. The first eider duck I ever killed was a hen, and she had a tag. A band, that's what I'm trying to say. She had a band on. She was tagged in Quebec about, I don't know, 1,000 miles from where we were hunting in Maine. Yeah, 6 years old. Not very old when it comes to duck's age, but what we're hearing, that it's been an average nesting on the Ungava Peninsula. Canada geese doing okay. Fair amount of birds, not overly exceptional from what we hear. More than likely, and I'm going to say this, but don't hold me to it if it changes. What I'm hearing in advance so far is 45 days and two birds again this year. Seems to be 45 and two. So we'll see what happens. While we're talking about geese, left over from the last hour would be Sean Mann. And I don't mean it leftover. We just didn't get to his commercial spot here where I get to tell you about SeanMann.com and the Eastern Shoreman Goose Call. You know, Sean Mann, we'll have to get him back here one of these days. He's an interesting guy. He grew up here in Maryland. His father owned a gun shop in Easton. Took him goose hunting when he was just a kid. Was fascinated with the calling process of how you were able to fool a geese by blowing on a piece of wood. And, sounding like a goose. So Sean initially got to carry the geese back to the blind, and then he got to hunt them, and then he started calling them, and he actually designed a call called the Eastern Shoreman. It was a very long tube that imitated all the calls of the Canada goose, and he went on to win the world championship in 1985 with that call, and that propelled him into great success in the goose calling world, and went on to win more championships, the Champion of Champions competition. Others followed in his footsteps, some names that are well known in Maryland and on the Eastern Shore and in the country have used Sean Mann calls to win world championships. And right at the forefront of all that is the Eastern Shoreman call. The one that started it all, that's the one that we promote. We talk about it here because it's very simple to operate. And you can own one. www.seanmann.com is the website, or you can call the office, 800-345-4539, 800-345-4539. Again, the website is www.seanmann.com. And you can learn about and listen to all the calls that are created by Sean Mann, all the duck calls, all the goose calls, all the snow goose calls, for every application, long read, short read, long calls, short calls, wood calls, synthetics calls, camo calls, exotic calls, SeanMann.com. Proud to have him as a sponsor. And that toll-free number, 800 405-345-4539. So here we are, folks, 410-922-6680, taking your phone calls. We'll talk about anything you want to talk about right here on the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. We talk about wildlife. We talk about whatever you want to talk about today. You're running the show. So you're not doing a very good job so far, so we need you to give us a ring here at 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. Let's see. Anybody want to know anything about the seasons? Well, more than glad to share those with you. The deer season for archery opens on the 7th of September this year, rather than the 15th. It is a very it's a change to the regulations. It came about as a result of the stakeholders meeting, which I attended earlier in the year. It was one of the concepts put forward. That's one of the changes. The buck limit is another change, in case you haven't heard. The way it's going to work this year is you will be able to, on your hunting license, you'll be able to take one buck in archery season, from September 7th all the way through January 31st, one buck. You will be allowed to take one buck during the muzzleloader season, whether that's the early muzzleloader season, the three-day season in October, or the two-week season after the regular firearm season in December, that'll be one buck. And then in firearm season, comes in, Saturday after Thanksgiving for 2 weeks, one buck. You will, however, be able to purchase a bonus buck tag. Qualify for that bonus buck tag. That is one additional buck in the season of your choice. So if you don't bow hunt, for example, you can take it in firearm season. If you don't hunt in firearm season, you can take it in muzzleloader season. If you don't muzzleloader hunt and you only bow hunt, you can take it in bow season. The precursor is you've got to take two does before you can purchase your bonus, or before you can take your bonus buck. And you can take those now in any order. And keep in mind, this is a statewide buck limit. This is not Region A, Region B separate. Region A and Region B, as far as buck limits are concerned, are the same. So there won't be any of this, I got this in Region A, so I get a buck in archery season in Region A, and I get a buck in archery season in Region B. No, not going to happen. That's been done away with. But the two does that you have to take before you can take your bonus buck, you can take those in any order. You can take one in archery season, one in muzzleloader season. You can take two in archery season. You can take two in muzzleloader season. You can take one in archery, one in firearms, one in archery, one in muzzleloader, one in muzzleloader, one in fire. It doesn't make any difference as long as you have your two does checked in before you take that bonus buck, number four. Most people never get to that point. In past years, I've purchased bonus buck tags. I've taken a buck early in the season, and, I think, well, I'll just take my does now, and then I'll purchase a bonus buck tag. Well, there's only been a handful of years in the last 20 where I've actually taken a bonus buck, and or a second buck during the season where I've had my two does. Very difficult to do in most. And unless you're out there every day, unless you live, in farm country or you hunt a lot. But for most of us, the average guy will kill one, maybe two deer a year. There are some who take, four, five, six. But that number, I take five or six deer a year. But that number of those people are very limited. And, a number of those are taken on managed hunts and that type of thing. So unless you're involved in that, you're not going to kill 9-10 deer a year. And you can, but it is what it is. The bonus or the doe limit for archery season is unlimited in the entire state of Maryland, unlimited amount of does in archery season. You can, you must check all those does in, but you have no limit in archery season statewide. You can take as many does as you want in archery season only. So it's still 10 in muzzleloader. It's still 10 in firearms. I can't imagine. But That is what it is. Venison donation program is going strong. As I mentioned earlier, they received public funding, $248,000 in public money, taxpayer money. That's the only taxpayer money that was in the budget for wildlife this year. Every dime of it went to the venison donation program. They have launched a campaign that now accepts crop damaged deer, the Doe Harvest Challenge, where you go to your local butcher shop, put your name in. We talk about it here, is in full force this year, not only in the 10 counties on the Eastern Shore that we are 10 counties in total. Three more counties have been added. The Doe Challenge has now been extended to Carroll, Frederick counties, and also in Wicomico County on the Eastern Shore. So the Doe Challenge simply means that you're eligible for, I can't tell you how many dollars in prizes. I think it's $5,500 or something, 18 chances to win. There are so many drawings throughout the season that you can win gift certificates and knives and things like that. And your participating meat processor will take part of that. Now also in Carroll County and in Frederick County as well as Wicomico. So wears you out just talking about it. Like to talk to you, however. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Like to hear your comments on anything we've talked about or anything you'd like to talk about. Fishing, crabbing, hunting, wildlife, you name it. You name it. Apparently bats are in buildings are becoming more prevalent than they had been. I talked to two animal damage control people this week. Both of them were working on bat jobs, which means that bats had infiltrated people's houses. They were showing up in their bedrooms at inopportune times during the night and scaring the crap out of people, which they tend to do if they get in your house. Bats are not a healthy thing to have in your house. They can be a carrier of rabies and other nasty diseases. And, you know, once they get inside, they're tough to eliminate. You've got to call one of those animal damage control folks. And I know a number of the people that do that. And I talked to one of the guys. He was headed to a house in Hagerstown. I talked to another fellow on the shore. He said, I don't know what it is about these bats this time of year, but he said that's when we get the calls. So don't know. I need to take a little drink of coffee. Hey, Pat. Go in the other office and call in so we can have a conversation. I have to remind the listeners that this is Talk Radio 680. And that doesn't mean just you and I talking, right? That means we have a conversation with them. And everybody waits for the last 5 minutes of the show, and then they get disappointed when they don't get on right away. Call now. There's nobody on the line. Oh, boy, that coffee's really mediocre today. Yeah. Oh, thanks for telling me I'm drinking coffee from a broken machine. Oh, terrible. Oh, yeah, it's great. Yeah. A few rotations is right. I know where that's going to rotate here shortly in the swirly bowl. Let's see. What's coming up? I have a buddy who listens to the show, and he sends me photos. He goes out in the local area, right around Jones Falls and that area, and takes pictures of wildlife that he finds, and all kinds of stuff. I mean, herons and egrets and, I mean, just a bunch of different wildlife. Otters, there's otters there. He sent me a picture of an owl the other day, and he wanted to know what kind of owl it was. Turned out to be a barred owl, which are fairly common. He kind of typed in the sound that it makes. So, we knew from the way he typed it and from the picture that it was a barred owl. And there's cool, audio online of all the owls. If you just Google, you know, the particular type of owl you're looking for, you can hear those tones. And that was very beneficial to him. But let's talk to, John in Baltimore about jug fishing. Hi, John. How are you?
Pretty good, man. I've called you a couple times before.
Yeah.
I'm not an avid fisherman or hunter. I admire what you do, and how you conserve and do this. I don't know the right words.
No, that's, I understand. Yep.
But you caught me off guard when I came back into the room after getting my second cup of coffee, and you said jug fishing, J as in Juliet, UG fishing.
Yep.
Can you explain that to me?
Yep. You take a gallon jug or even a 2 liter bottle, and you attach a line to it with a hook on it, and then you have a series of these where you tie them together in a string, you put them overboard. It's just kind of like a trot line for crabbing.
You know, like, I'm not your average idiot. I'm your above-average idiot. I could do that, man. You know, that sounds easy to me.
It is easy, sure.
Now, two quick things, and I'll get off the line. You have an 11-year-old boy that rides motocross in Golden, Colorado, that listens to you on your podcast.
That's very cool.
My grandson. And he has the only fishing he does is when we have him at Ocean City.
Yeah.
He goes surf fishing, and he has a secret bait, but you can't tell anybody, all right?
Yeah.
What he uses is Vienna sausage and bacon.
Well, you know, hot dogs are very good catfish bait.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, hot dogs. Just cut them up in little pieces. They're a very good catfish bait.
And the other thing, I know you don't play it often during this time of the year. He's really hooked on, I'm not sure, the group that does that song, My Baby Looks Good in Camel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's...
He goes crazy.
He likes that. I'll send that out to him.
I got one thing for you about hunting, then I'm going to get off the line.
All right.
I'd rather hear you talk. I spent 3 tours in Vietnam as a Green Beret. And
Thank you for your service.
Hey, man, I'd do it again if I could right now, except I got a couple medical things you can't.
Yeah.
But bottom line is, we worked. Basically, I was in Cambodia most of the time. This
right.
was 3 years straight. But we worked with Montagnards in the highlands for about a month with a bunch of other teams.
Yep.
You have one control team that takes care of them, and others, whatever. But I saw them hunt monkey, and if I didn't see it, I heard about it, and if I didn't see it with my own eyes, I wouldn't believe it. Now, you know they're very primitive, the Montagnards.
Oh, you are, yes, indeed.
Okay, they use crossbows and arrows, and what they do to hunt these monkeys is they dip the tip of the arrow in curare, which they can make a painkiller out of it, but in this process, it's a poison.
It's poison, right.
And then they tie a piece of cloth on the end of the arrow, and they stand under this triple canopy and look up, see the monkey, shoot the monkey, and that monkey will sit there with that arrow stuck in him, and he will try to push the cloth back inside of its body, and in a minute or so, that monkey falls right at their feet. Because if they didn't do that, as you would know, that monkey's going to get hit and take off.
Yeah.
But I thought that was so remarkable. And, of course, Trucker, everybody's got a nickname. He was a... his specialties on our team, he was small arms and intelligence and he could work with a lot of the dialects. So he asked him, aren't you afraid of getting poisoned? And the Montagnard looked at him and laughed and says, we're standing here, aren't we? But it's remarkable how they do it. And monkey's nasty. It's very stringy. I don't like it at all.
I don't know that I'd care for it. I've eaten a lot of stuff, but I don't know about monkey.
Well, dog was a little better. Monkey was spunky.
Well, you know. Hey, you and the president have something in common. That's one thing you probably have in common.
You know, well, you know, I'm going to say this, Alan, since you didn't have many callers today. I don't have anything against Barack Obama. I think he's a fantastic family man. I think he's a straight-up man, but get him out as president, I've had it.
Thank you.
That's just my opinion, right? I mean, I go to VA, you know, which is another screwed-up situation for medical. I'm sorry. A lot of vets will agree with me, and some may not. But, you know, at least I have that and all that, and I don't have to worry. But I got a kid brother that's a special need guy and all this, and I watch out for him. Even though my father's 88 and retired city cop, he's still around. He's with my dad, but still, I worry about him.
Sure, absolutely.
All right, dude, God bless you. And,
thanks, John. Appreciate your service. Thank you for the call.
I want to tell you real quick, every time I think of my mother, and it's every day she passed away 3 years ago, I think of you and your wife. And the reason I say that, it was the most devastating loss I've had in my life, and I'm 62 years of age. So you, God bless you. You keep all those good memories, and you keep teaching us, Alan. I think the world of you. I love you, brother.
Thanks, John. Appreciate
it. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. There he goes. Do we need to take a break? I guess we do, huh? And then we have a lot of callers on the line, including Marty Gary from the Department of Natural Resources. But let me tell you about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You know, it is time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, even a vacation from the World Fishing Network. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation size, or skillful, of course, citation size fish and certify your catch, you're in. You're in the Maryland Fishing Challenge. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater in the tidal rivers, the Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. And you know what? Diamond Jim, he's a tagged rockfish. He's worth $20,000 if you catch him now, between the now and the end of July. He's swimming in Chesapeake Bay. He's waiting to take your bait, your spot, your bucktail, your chum, your trolling tackle. Diamond Jim has lots of imposters out there, too. They're even worth $500 at least. And you know what? If you catch a rockfish with a bright green tag, call that number on the tag. Keep the tag in the fish. You might just have captured a $20,000 prize. Stop by your local Fish and Citation Center or visit www.dnr.state.md.us or www.dnr.maryland.gov. Either one. For the Maryland Fishing Challenge 2012, featuring Diamond Jim, and this year honoring the inimitable Lefty Cray from right here in Maryland. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? Well, I hope so. Hey, Fish Bones Bait and Tackle. Fresh live bait, alewives, soft crab, peelers, razor clams, crabbing supplies, rods, reels, lures, lure-making supplies, complete line of marine and boating supplies, and much, much more, including those great crab steamers, those stainless steel crab steamers that are three sizes, half bushel, bushel, bushel and a half, all last crab steamer you'll ever have to buy. All stainless steel, come with a basket and a lid. Fish Bones Bait and Tackle, 4729 Mountain Road in Pasadena. Give them a call at 410-360-0573. Take Route 100 all the way to Mountain Road. Head towards Gibson Island, 2.5 miles on the right-hand side. You'll find Fish Bones Bait and Tackle next to the Shell station. You'll be glad you did. That number again for an up-to-date fishing report, 410-360-0573.
This is the Wall Street Journal report. I'm Jim Blake. And many of the nearly 10 million Americans over the age of 50 who serve as caregivers to a parent make financial sacrifices that can reduce their own retirement assets. The Wall Street Journal's Ann Turgeson.
It's important for people to think very carefully about the impact on their retirement benefits before they give up a job or even before they cut back on hours, because sometimes part-timers don't qualify for a lot of the benefit programs that full-timers do.
Before you quit your job, explore what resources are available that might allow you to keep working.
More than half of companies provide some kind of flex time. Obviously, that will depend on the company you work for and the job you have, but you may well qualify for some sort of arrangement like that. Other arrangements that could help are telecommuting, compressed work weeks, and job sharing.
And be sure to check out the federal government's online elder care locator at eldercare.gov, which features links to all sorts of care options. I'm Jim Blykamp with the Wall Street Journal report.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 800-560-8410 to get your free copy now. 800-560-8410. 800-560-8410.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, we're back. Let's see. Oh, somebody couldn't hold on. Who was that, I wonder? John wasn't in. Edgemere wasn't there. We got to get a couple calls here. Let me put Marty up. Marty, good morning. Marty Gary.
Alan Ellis, how are you doing? Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. We're going to put you on with a couple callers. We'll just lock you in, and you can listen to the calls and comment if you like, just like you were here in the studio. What do you think?
That would be awesome.
All right. You got him, Pat? We're all good. Let's talk to Jerry in Severna Park and then Joe in Baltimore City. Good morning, Jerry. How you doing?
Hi, Alan. I'm doing okay for an old man.
Thank you for waiting. What's up?
It's a little different subject, and I don't hear anything about it, but it's so frustrating to me. You keep talking about going fishing and boating and all that.
Yeah.
How can you boat when the boating industry is dying? And it's dying because of this rotten ethanol that destroys boat motors. I haul my boat out, get it tuned up, take it out, take a little run, put it on the boat lift, and 3 days later it won't start.
I agree with you, Jerry. I agree with you 100%. I mean, there are things you can add to it. But it is
extremely expensive.
It is very expensive to add that to the to that, and I don't know what the solution is.
Well, I know what the solution is. Make some noise about it in Congress. You know what the problem is? The congressmen from the Midwest are pushing ethanol.
Yeah, right? Of course they are.
So the farmers will vote for them.
Sure, exactly right.
They don't care about us. They don't. All they care about is getting reelected. It's so frustrating. And, I mean, at my age, I don't have that many more years to go boating, but I finally begged my local marina to tow my boat away. I said, I don't want it. And he said, I don't want it either. But since he was a friend of mine, he said, okay, I'll tow it away. And he said, you cannot give a boat away. Nobody wants a boat. And a friend of mine bought a beautiful cruiser for $35,000 3 years ago, and now... After he died, his wife can't sell it for $10,000. Nobody wants it.
Yeah. And well, the cost of fuel is prohibitive. B, the regulations are overwhelming. And C, as you mentioned, the ethanol additive in boat motor fuel is just an engine killer. No question about it.
Yeah.
No question.
What's not needed.
Well, I agree with you. But you got to understand, Jerry, being out there in your boat, you know, you're killing the environment with those with the pollution that you put into the air.
Yeah,
that's what you do. You're responsible for our own demise.
Maybe that's what they're doing. They're trying to stop pollution.
Well, they're trying to stop pollution, but they're also, you're absolutely right as far as the ethanol additive. I actually have a little sign on my gas tank when I open the lid on the truck that says it has the prohibited symbol, you know, the circle with the slash through it, 15 to 25%, you know, ethanol. Anything over 10, don't even bother putting it in the tank. And they keep pushing it. It is extremely expensive. That's part of why gas is so high, because we've got that 10% ethanol in there. All right, buddy. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Right.
All right, Jerry. Thanks for making some noise. There goes Jerry. Let's talk to Joe in Baltimore City. Good morning, Joe. How you doing?
Good morning. I wanted to thank you because I introduced a work associate of mine. We ended up going out fishing on 4th of July because she didn't have to buy a fishing license. Of course, I already had one.
Yeah.
And so we went on out to one of the municipal ponds. I wasn't as successful as she was. I was kind of surprised.
The ladies always outfish the guys, no question.
That must be it. And by the way, we were using hot dogs, just catching. She caught a catfish, and she caught a grass carp. And
probably a carp, yeah.
Huh?
Probably just a standard carp, a German European carp, yep.
Yep, and she had a good time, and now she's talking about next payday. Because, you know, you think about it, here it is, it's almost more than half the year is over, but she's going to have to pay the full price for a fishing license.
Hey, Marty, what do you say about that?
About the free fishing license?
Well, he said the season's half over, and she has to pay full price for a license.
Oh, geez. I mean, you know, the free fishing area, the free fishing days,
yeah,
and the free fishing areas are a way to get people, to give them a taste of the fishing, and hopefully they'll be full-fledged licensed anglers.
Now, that's just what happened here, Marty.
Yeah. Well, that's it. We enjoyed it, and we certainly enjoyed having the day. But I tell you, the other thing, too, is that I've often wondered, like, once or twice, I ended up not having a fishing license, and it got to be around September, October, November, and I'm sitting there looking, going like, well, geez, maybe I ought to just wait a couple of months until it's January instead of having it run like maybe an annual year, you know, rather than a January.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah?
It's $15. It's a cheap date, man. It's cheaper than going to the movies.
You know, I know that you big publishing agents out there, you got the big bucks, but...
Yeah, that's right. I'm rolling in it. I'm rolling in it, Joe. That's why I come in here and pay the station thousands of dollars a year to put this show on. I'm just rolling in dough. I like to hear myself talk.
Thank you very much. I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know. That's all right. I'm just giving it back.
It's $20.50 for non-title, buddy.
Whatever. It's still a cheap date.
I go to $3 movies, but anyhow, listen.
Hey, look, Joe. Joe. Yeah. You and your friend go to McDonald's and get a meal.
Oh, God, you're right.
You're talking 15, 18 bucks right there.
Right you are.
And then at the end of the day, it's gone. 20 bucks for a fishing license, you can fish all year. All right, see you, buddy. Thanks. There he goes. Let's talk to Sally. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. When I heard before that you were hard up for calls, I thought you might be interested in this wacky item. When I woke up this morning, I was dreaming as I was waking up. I dreamed I was at the dentist.
Okay.
And the dentist started talking to me about a crab magazine he was publishing. And I thought that was interesting that he was doing so well. And I thought that remarkable that there should be that much support.
Did you have...
I said, you know Alan Ellis. He publishes a crab magazine
My goodness.
And then I was waking up and, you know, don't remember much. I was awake enough to know that I was dreaming. I thought you might find that amusing.
That is very amusing, Sally, that you would have me in a dream. Did you have Italian food last night or?
No, but if you want some more, I fell back asleep again and we started talking about cheese. And I said that my favorite cheese was Kraft Extra Sharp Classic, and you said it had won an award as the best cheese in the United States in 1998. Okay. And I was congratulating myself and my taste in cheese when I woke up again. So.
Oh, Sally, that's funny.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Sally. I always appreciate your call. Thanks. I appreciate hearing from you. You have a great day and a good weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sally. Bye-bye. So, Marty, do you dream about me too, buddy?
So, Alan, I was sitting here listening to your show, and you were saying, where's the callers?
And then all of a sudden you call in, and 40 of them get online, which is fine.
It was. That was fun. That was interesting. So how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Just busy. Just been beating around the state. As you can see, we had a successful Crab Magazine. Met a lot of great folks and a lot of new folks became good customers and great associates. And hopefully, we did a good job from the department standpoint.
I mean, it looks like you did a great job. I've got your copy sitting right here on my coffee table in front of me, and it's beautiful. I've already had a couple people comment on it that have stopped by, and it looks awesome, and it's going to be a great resource. I mean, the crabbing season is off to a pretty good start, and it's going to get arguably a lot better.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Hey, Marty, I got to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm hearing from first week of June to end of June is cow nose raised. They're eating the bait off the commercial crab trot lines. Rays that are caught are being killed and cut open. They've got the mesh bait bags inside of them. I'm hearing about crabs in the upper bay. They're shedding out. They're getting that little peeler, and then there's nothing. I mean, they just seem to disappear. Do you have any idea what the impact of the cow nose ray is on the crab population, and is that something that should be looked at?
Yeah, I truthfully don't know what the impact is of cow nose rays. I only know what I guess a lot of folks do if you take a look, and I have, just look at their diet. I mean, they prefer mollusks. They like to get down into the benthic area and dig in a little bit, but
that would be why they eat the razor clams off the off the trot lines.
Yeah, they absolutely prefer mollusks, but I don't think crustaceans is necessarily off their their dietary list either. So,
right.
But I, you know, I'd never seen that referenced anywhere, and they've been around for a long time, and it's not like they're uncommon, but I've never, it's a good question. It's something I can check out and look into.
You know, I mean, I've had the opportunity for the last couple of years to go up on the shad tagging adventures with Dale and the crew up there on the Susquehanna, and the impact of the cormorants on the spawning fish and on the fry and that type of thing. You know, I look at that as a potential hazard to the young of the year and that type of thing. I don't know. Have you been at the up?
I did. You know, I'm glad you brought that back up. I happened to run into Dave Brinker, who, in addition to being a colleague, he works over on the wildlife side for Paul Petito's shop.
Right.
Actually in Heritage. But I ran into him in the parking lot going out the other day, and I remembered our previous conversation from a few weeks ago, and I mentioned that to him. And he kind of threw one of those numbers at me that didn't necessarily, you know, just say, look, it's insignificant. But he actually had something quantified in his head in terms of their diet and all.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, you know, basically the takeaway message was it would be pretty insignificant. I know it doesn't seem that way because, you know, I've seen them too clustered in different areas.
Yeah.
But, he actually, you know, it's up to you. I certainly can facilitate it. Dave said he'd be happy to come on your show one morning to call in.
Yeah, love to.
But I know what you were referring to.
Well, I just, you know, everybody's concerned about fish mortality, and you know, they point to a lot of different factors.
Yep.
And it seems to me like nobody looks at the obvious. I mean, we've got a flock of scavenging birds that are. I mean, all you have to do is watch them for 5 minutes, and you see how many fish one cormorant eats in a half a day. And I mean, it's just amazing, absolutely amazing. And then you know you hear these reports from the crabbers about the. You know, the rays eating the crabs right off the trot line, or you hear them, you know, crushing the bait bags and eating the bait bags, and you see these massive schools of cow-nose rays, you know, massive may be a little overstatement, but, you know, 10, 15, 20 cow-nose rays cruising the shallows. And mm-hmm. obviously they're in a breeding mode, but they're also, they've got to eat as well. What are they eating? Mm-hmm. You know, and that, you know, you say they prefer mollusks and stuff. I mean, I've been down at Point Lookout on the pier down there, and I've watched. This was years ago when they were putting the oyster shells out, building the bars, and that type of thing. I don't know if they were actually putting the spat out or not, but the oyster boats would go by, and the cow-nose rays would come in there in swarms, battalions of, you know, 10, 15, 20 gliding along. I don't know what they were eating at the time, but you know, you just gotta say. There's a reason they're in these certain areas. There's a reason there's an abundance of cow-nose rays on the mudflats, for example. And I mean, maybe it's prime breeding territory, but they've got to be eating something. Are they detrimental to the crab population at a certain vulnerable stage? You know, as in soft crabs or peelers or whatever it might be, even at a certain maturity stage of the crabs.
Yeah, I completely see what you're talking about. And, you know, back in the 90s, the mid to late 90s, there was a discussion about rockfish predation
I remember that, on blue crabs, yeah.
Yeah, it's something to think about. I don't know. And I honestly don't know that there's anyone on our staff that would be expert, but I bet you there's somebody is a cow-nose rays expert, and you know it's something we can look into and ask about.
Yeah, I think that'd be an interesting subject.
With the salinities up right now, you know, they're probably pushing a lot further north than they normally do.
Right.
But interesting observations for sure.
We'll see. We will see. So.
Yeah.
Well, let me take a break here, and we'll come back and talk about. Let's talk to John. He called back. John, good morning. What's up? John?
Hi, it's not the same John.
Different John, okay.
Now, my name's John Leitner. Like I said, when I was a kid, we used to jug fish up in Loch Raven.
Sure.
You know, we'd collect whatever plastic bottles we could, and we didn't have enough money to have a boat or nothing, so we'd rent one of them rowboats up there, and we'd drag all them jugs and hooks and bait and everything out there to this little cove there by the ramp, and we'd set them up. then we'd go off to the shore and, you know, play in the woods or what have you, you know. But that was really good to hear somebody else talking about that, man. It just brought back, you know, little childhood things, you know.
Yeah, well, what were you catching at that point? What did you catch on those?
We caught catfish, and every now and then you'd, you know, get your, you know, pesky little yellow perch or maybe a sunfish, but mm-hmm. mostly catfish.
Right.
We caught them. They were pretty easy to catch, you know, and they taste good.
Yep. I actually got an email from a friend here that talks about jug fishing, and one of the callers said, well, jugs are, you know, that sounds easy to do. And he says, not as easy as you think. Really. Bait changes during the year. What you use in the spring won't work in the fall or winter.
Right.
The size of the bait changes. The time to fish changes dramatically during the year due to the fish feeding times, obviously. Water depth changes as well due to temperatures and dissolved oxygen. Maybe you can fish on the bottom in November, but try it now and see how many you catch. Well, there's, you know, obviously not going to work there. Trot lines are even worse as to being depth and bait critical. You can fish a trot line off the bottom at whatever depth you want, but
right.
you're not going to be necessarily successful.
Yeah, so. that was something we really enjoyed. Occasionally we'd get a couple of snapping turtles now and then. You know? But that'd be a big surprise, you know, especially, you know, a little kid and you get a snapping turtle.
Oh yeah, I've hooked a few snapping turtles as a kid.
Know?
Yeah, yeah, they're not fun, but
no, but they taste good.
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, now I heard you had a caller on there. His name was John.
Yeah.
I do believe that was my cousin that you just talked to.
It could be. You never know.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
But that was good to hear him on there. And
good.
If he calls you back, you can give him my phone number.
All right. Well, hang on there. We'll grab your phone number.
Put it out.
All right. Hold on.
All right.
Pat's got him. Okay, we're good to go. Marty, still with me?
I still am, Alan.
All right, hold on. Hey, this is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex Spray-On Bedliners of Glen Burnie. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is the only authorized Linex dealer in Glen Burnie and is proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated bedliners from Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offers Linex protection that comes to you. The Linex mobile unit can come to your farm, your business, your job site, and apply the Linex coating to your trailers, tanks, equipment, or anything else that needs protection. Linex bedliners. Let's talk about those in your truck for a minute. They completely seal out rust. They have a durable non-slip surface. They reduce noise and vibration. And the Linex bedliners resist most chemicals and acids. They protect against impact. And you know what? They clean up just like new at your local car wash. Bay Linex now offers the new Linex Extra, fortified with DuPont Kevlar that utilizes your paint code to match your liner to your vehicle and provide Kevlar protection to your truck bed. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A, or visit them online at baylinex.com. Give Bobby Hawkins a call, 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Find out how you can receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card at Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Tochterman's Fishing Tackle, downtown Baltimore at 1925 Eastern Avenue, 2.5 blocks east of Broadway, is all fishing all the time. Marty, you been in there lately? Marty,
I almost drove right by it the other day, and I wanted to stop in.
Yeah, you need to do that. You need to do that. 1,000 fishing rods on display, 700 fishing reels that you can touch and work and figure out which one works best for you. A giant fly fishing room, the largest selection of Costa Del Mar sunglasses you can imagine, and they do now have Yeti coolers. Yes, Yeti coolers. They are not inexpensive, but 2 inches of proprietary insulation in the sides, 3 inches in the cover, in the top. They are guaranteed bear-proof, and it will be the last cooler that you ever have to buy. They even have them in Raven Purple if you want to go check that out. Yeti coolers. Really. They have rubber feet on the bottom so they don't slip around on your boat deck. You can buy seats for on top or non-skid traction pads if you want to use them as a casting deck. Yeti coolers at Tochterman's Fly Shop, Tochterman's Fishing
Tank. They look incredibly durable.
They are incredibly durable, man. I mean, they can you can throw them off a mountain and you won't hurt them. Yep, exactly. They have all the boots and waders and everything you need for fly fishing, all the lure building supplies, fly tying supplies, and the largest selection of Costa Del Mar sunglasses I've ever seen. And please, don't forget the most succulent, delicious, nutritious, and scrumptious bloodworms, not just in the Mid-Atlantic region, but in the entire United States. I'll say the entire northern continent, North American continent. So, Tochterman's, why not? 1925 Eastern Avenue in Fells Point, 410-327-6942, 410-327-6942. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, I did stop by W&W Tire and Auto Service the other day, and things are good to go. Man, they have the work trucks in there. They had plumbers and roofers and landscapers and everything else. And, I mean, that the reason they go there is to get in and get out and get service quickly, just like I do when I get my oil changed there, and I'll be there this week, too. But now it's time for me to tell you about Papa John Farm. In Severn. Summer is the time for picnics and family get-togethers and camping trips. Summer is corn on the cob and steamed crabs and fresh tomatoes. Summer is cold, juicy melons. That's right. The Schillinger family at Papa John's Farm steams their corn on the cob with their crabs for a great family dinner. If you enjoy your time outdoors with a great-tasting food, may I recommend Schillinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn? Well, thank you. I will. At their enormous produce barn, their own tasty, super sweet corn and homegrown tomatoes are ready to go. There's squash and zucchini, peppers and onions, green beans and cucumbers, mouthwatering cantaloupes, and sweet, sweet watermelons, too. Papa John's Farm, I-97, exit 12. That's 8065 New Cut Road in Severn, Maryland, 410-969-8810. Papa John's Farm, open every day. Monday to Saturday from 9 to 7, Sunday 9 to 6. That phone number again, 410-969-8810. Visit Schillinger's, Papa John's Farm. It will grow on you. Let's talk to Marty.
Yes, sir.
How many entries do we have in the fishing challenge?
We are getting close to 800. Paul was unable to get in because of the holiday break this
week. Yeah, I understand.
The update. But yep. We are at 7, and about 720 or so, but
yeah.
It's got to be pushing close to 800.
I'm sure, no doubt, over the holiday weekend and that or holiday week and that type of thing, people were out there, and the free fishing days certainly helped on that, too.
And the conditions all around look pretty doggone good.
I mean, yeah.
The oceanside fishing's going great. Salinities are up. We're seeing croaker and all sorts of different species that are usually a little bit lower in the bay, moving further up.
Right.
And the flow rates in most of the streams and rivers look to be at or slightly below average, so
yeah.
It looks like it's good fishing there. So I would think the numbers are going to look pretty good by the end of the contest.
Good, good. Glad to hear it. That sounds good. Yeah, we had 2,000? No, never had 2,000, did we?
We had one year that the number was close to it, but that was before we had switched over to the new system.
Right.
Tickets, and I think there's some question whether or not, you know, there was, to be truthful, whether or not all those were getting processed the way they should have been.
Right.
So the numbers have been fairly consistent since we switched over. They've been somewhere around 1,300.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Yep.
Yeah. Hey, while you were talking, I got thinking about the whole Cal Nose Ray thing and did a couple quick jumps over the Chesapeake Bay program.
Yeah.
And a couple other sites. And, you know, it's all the references are to mollusks, not crabs, but I think it would be fair to say they certainly probably are opportunists.
Yeah.
But I find this interesting that there's a group down in Virginia, it's virginiaseafood.org, and they've been pushing Cal Nose Rays for consumption,
mm-hmm.
recipes and different things like that.
Mm.
And they do have a statement on their site about concern about rays eating various shellfish and crustaceans.
Ah, there you go.
But you know, is any of that merited?
I don't know. Maybe it's a waterman thing. But I mean, if you happen to kill a cow nose ray and you find a bait bag in its belly, you know, you may not think, well, it's just they're eating razor clams. I mean, that definitely affects your living if they're eating your bait off the line. Are they necessarily eating the crabs? We're not sure. But, you know, we're hearing different things from watermen and tackle shops and that type of thing that are saying, you know, we heard about an abundance of little crabs. We're getting the small peelers, but we're not getting any size to any of these crabs right now. What's going on? So, you know, then they say, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Just bringing it up.
Yeah, and it's good just to temper, too, a conversation that has happened on our side within our leadership group is, okay, so we hear the stories, too.
Yeah.
But also, so your listeners just understand there's a flip side to all this. I mean, rays are a member of the shark family.
Right.
It's an animal that has very low reproductive rates.
Right.
They only produce one pup per female, believe it or not.
Really?
Per year.
Yep.
And so it's very low reproductive. It's slow to mature. So it's one of those things like these folks down in Virginia that are pushing the, it's one of those things, technically it doesn't have a fishery management plan. It could be overfished if all of a sudden it just caught fire
and
everybody started eating it. But it's just something to think about.
Trust me, Marty, not everybody's going to be eating the cow nose ray. There's a tremendous amount of preparation and they're not that great.
I've tried them, and I agree with you.
Yeah, they're not that great. They're like a gummy scallop. So, I mean, if you like that, go for it. So, hey, hold on a minute, and we'll talk to Judy here going out. But Sunroom, I got to tell folks about Sunroom Zinc. A sunroom is where you can read or entertain your friends or eat crabs, or you know, and you get your family in there year-round in a relaxing, stress-free setting. The talented craftsmen at Sunroom Zinc can make your ideas come alive in a tailor-made all-season sunroom that blends with your home and provides a climate-controlled room where you can enjoy nature even on the worst days. Long story short, I've been there. I've watched Sunrooms, Inc. build a sunroom. They are guaranteed. They are Energy Star rated. They are. They have a lifetime warranty, and they build them custom to suit you. Sunrooms, Inc. Write this 800 number down, 800-725-1380, or visit the website sunroomsinc.net, 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 800-725-1380. Judy, I don't think we're going to get to you. The music has come up. Marty, I want to say thank you.